You are Locked On 76ers, your daily Philadelphia 76ers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome, welcome, welcome. Welcome back to Locked On 76ers. I'm your host, Keith Pompey. Happy Friday to you. It's Friday, July the 26th. I have my man Mark Narducci in the building. What's good, Mark?
How you doing, Keith? It's been an interesting offseason.
Oh, it has. It has. It's been a while since we've done a podcast. I'm jealous because he went abroad and he went to London and had a nice little vacay. You saw some nice stops and everything. How was it, man?
Oh, it was great. London was great. And then we took the train to Paris. So we had a nice, about an 8-day stay. It was great. So much to see in both cities.
I'm hating you right now. But right now, y'all, it's been the Sixers have had an active offseason. You can see what they did in the free agency with Al Horford picking him up, doing the trading and getting Josh Richardson. They have the point guard by the name of Neto, who's going to be the backup point guard. And so what we're going to do is they have other guys too. I mean, they brought Tobias Harris back. They lost J.J. Redick. But in the first segment, Mark and I was talking a little bit, off camera, so to speak. Mark believes that they are a better team today than they were at the end of last season. And we're talking about a team that was four bounces away from advancing to the conference finals. So, that's a good one. So we're going to talk about it in the first segment. In the second segment, we're going to talk about what else do they need. I think they need a point guard, a backup point guard. And then in the third segment, we're going to talk about the bench. Who is going to be the top bench guy? Right, Mark? So we have a lot to talk about. But Mark, get this thing started. Explain to me why you believe that this team is better off now than they were a year ago.
Well, because, Keith, I think Al Horford is a better addition than Jimmy Butler. Because Al Horford is a guy that's not a lot of maintenance. He's a guy that can shoot the three. He can play two positions. You can rest Joel Embiid more. He's a guy that's not going to cry if he doesn't get shots. In his whole NBA career, I think he's averaged under 12 shots a game. He takes what's there, and he's a great attitude guy. So I think that they're better off with him. I think as good as Jimmy Butler was defensively, I think Al Horford is. We've talked about this before, that he's one of the few players in the NBA who guarded Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons in the same game. So I think they're better with him. I think they've become a better defensive team with Josh Richardson coming in. And I think in the long run, that'll be better. And the other thing is, with the subtraction of Butler, I think Ben Simmons is going to be better because I thought Butler stifled his game. And I think Tobias Harris is going to be better because he's going to get more opportunities.
Question to you is, so they lost Jimmy Butler. They lost J.J. Redick. And I'm under the belief if they would have brought everyone back, the team still would have been a great team, a team that possibly, would have been contending for the NBA Finals championship this year. That's my thing. My question to you is, who's the closer and who's the designated shooter now?
That is a question. And your point about J.J. Redick is good, that they really haven't totally replaced him. You would think Embiid is the closer, you would think. But Tobias Harris has the mentality, and he wants to be. He thinks he can be. We talked about in the playoffs how at 6'9", he shoots over a lot of people really well. So he could be it as well. I'm not convinced yet Ben Simmons is the guy we're seeing in all these videos, Keith, making all these jump shots yet, that he wants to be the closer. But I think Embiid and I think Tobias Harris are going to be your two guys, and I think Al Horford will never, never be afraid to take a big shot.
Now, here's the thing about Embiid. I know a lot of people. My man T. Will, we always have the weight debates, and for y'all who don't know T. Will, he's been in this podcast before. I call him the Sixers super fan. We have debates all the time. He thinks Embiid is going to be the closer too. I don't think so. And here's my reasoning. I think that if they do have a closer, it's going to have to be Tobias. And like you said, Tobias wants that, and we'll see what Tobias can do. But for your center to be the closer, too much has to go right to get him the ball. You know what I'm saying? Like, as great as Shaq was, it was Kobe. You know what I mean? You know, D-Wade, before, you know, LeBron came, it was D-Wade. I mean, you need somebody who gets the ball at the top, and then they run time off the clock, and then they go. When you get the ball, and then you got to do a bounce pass, or you got to do this, it's so much has to go right before they get that ball. So if it's going to be someone, it's going to have to be Tobias. My question is, now, we all know that Tobias can shoot threes. But who's the designated shooter on the squad outside of Tobias? Right. I mean, Al Horford can shoot.
He can shoot.
Embiid can shoot. But they're post players. Like, you're not bringing them off screens, like, hitting threes. I mean, that's just my question.
Josh Richardson's three-point percentage has improved each year. He could fill into that role. But to your point, Keith, they have nobody who I think scares teams the way Redick did. That way. So that is, and I think the Sixers not getting Kyle Korver and Milwaukee getting him was a big minus. That could be a very big deal. So you're right, but I don't think that they're going to have just the one closer. I think they're going to have multiple closers, but I think Embiid will get, you know, first crack, and then Tobias, and then Al Horford.
Okay, well, that's a great segue for our second segment. You know, we're talking about the things that the 76ers need. So, you know, this helps out well. So, Mark, what else do the 76ers need right now?
Keith, I tweeted this, and I know people might think I'm nuts. They need a shooter. You're right. And as we're talking this late in the offseason, it's not like they grow on trees. I would take a serious look at Joe Johnson. I know, look, he's 38 years old. He didn't play last year in the NBA. I get all that. But on this team, you're not looking for Joe Johnson to play 25 minutes a night. You're looking for him to open the floor, and if people leave him open, he can still hit a shot. Again, I know it's only the big three, but he's been impressive this summer. I would take a guy like Joe Johnson. Plus, he's a good team guy. He's a six-time All-Star. He's got a lot of savvy. He's an intelligent player. That would be my guy I would bring in.
Yeah. I think they need a backup point guard.
Well, you have a good point.
Yeah. I mean, right now, they have Neto as the backup. You know, he's a guy who's had some injury problems. You know, he's a guy who... you know, I don't know. I just think they need another one. I just think they need, I mean, who knows? He can develop into that role, but I think they need one. I think there's going to be times where they're going to need someone who can just be a floor general. They're going to need someone who can push Ben Simmons. I mean, who can make Ben Simmons a better point guard. And what I mean by that is a guy who, when Ben is like looking in the, like Ben's in the game, when Ben comes out or when Ben's this, a guy saying, yo, Ben, like, yo, did you see this? Did you see that? You know, so, you know, right now when you look at it, you know, you look at what's out there and you say that it's kind of, I'm not going to say slim pickings, but there's guys who you thought were going to be great ones were already taken. So I'm looking at a guy like Jeremy Lin, you know, Trey Burke. Now, I don't know if Trey Burke can be the guy who says, hey, Ben, this is what you need to do. I think Jeremy Lin could possibly help him out, be a leader. You know what I mean?
And I like that thought, Keith. Yeah. I like Jeremy Lin if he's healthy. You know, he's had some injury things, but he still does know how to play. He's highly intelligent, and, you know, he gives you length when you're out there as well. I think Jeremy Lin... would be a very suitable guy, especially with the Sixers having an open roster spot.
You know, then there's guys like, see, Jose Calderon, he's too old for me. Devin Harris, too old. You know what I mean? But like Raymond Felton, 35. Sean Livingston, 34. But he has the knee problems, you know? Yeah. You know, but now again, now if there's a guy who you want let's say if you decide that, if you decide that Neto is going to be your guy as a backup, if you decide that, I would take a long, hard look at PJ Dozier. He's a guy who was on his summer league team. You know what I mean? He's 6'6". You know, he's still raw. He's one of these dudes who was a McDonald's All-American in high school. He goes to South Carolina. South Carolina has, like, its best year. People tell him, you're a pro. He's a one and done. And he doesn't get drafted. You know, or one, you know, and he, you know, he was with the Boston Celtics last year, but he was basically with their G League team. So he's a guy I would look at if I decide that Neto's the backup. But if I don't, I'm trying to go after Jeremy Lin. Now, again, I'm not telling the Sixers they got to rush because, as we know, Mark, there's going to be movement right before the start of the season. And then that's when the Sixers still can decide. And let's face it, they're going to probably be able to bring people in and have them battle for a spot in training camp. And they'll do it that way.
Keith, no matter who, what they decide, you're right. They probably can't go into season with just two point guards.
Nah, you can't.
Because you have an injury or something like that. So they're going to have to get someone, whether it's a combo guard or something like that. So you're right. They probably will have to bring someone. And we can't discount making any trades as well.
Now, I know they like Shake Milton. I mean, they tried him out in the summer league as a backup. I mean, as a point guard. I think he's better suited. I know he's undersized. He may be slow. But I think he's better suited playing off the ball, despite being undersized and not, you know, being as athletic as you would want a two guard. I think he's a better two, though.
I'd worry a little about Shake Milton's handle, wouldn't you, little Keith? That would worry me at that position.
And for y'all, Neto, I know I keep saying Neto. It's Raul Neto. Raul Neto. He's 27 years old. He came from Utah. You know, I think, you know, a lot of people may think I'm crazy, but I don't know if it's going to happen. But I think bringing Jared Bayless may be okay, but it's not going to happen.
It won't happen. No. But if he would accept that kind of a role, that would be great. By the way, about Neto, career 37% three-point shooter, that's not bad.
Nah, it's not. It's not. It's just that.
It's not lights out, but.
It's not. I mean, He may wind up being great. He just wasn't the sexy pick. You know what I mean?
Right.
You know what I mean? He's a guy who was the 47th overall pick, you know, in the 2013 draft. You know, he's a nice guy, great guy, but I also think you just can't go in to training camp with just two legitimate point guards. You know, especially where, you know, Ben Simmons is the type of guy you can have him on the floor with another ball handler at times because he could post up. So, you know, that's just my thing. But getting into this third segment after this commercial break, Mark, we want to talk about what else do they need? What else do the 76ers need? We're going to talk about the top bench guy. I'm sorry, we already spoke about that. I'm getting a little old here. But when we get right back, who's the top Sixers top bench guy at this particular time? All right, Mark, who's the top bench guy?
Well, I really think it's either James Ennis or Mike Scott because we've talked forever about Scott's toughness, what he brings to you. He's not afraid to take a big shot, as we saw in the Brooklyn series when he had that game-winning quarter three. But I like James Ennis because James Ennis can play a couple of positions. James Ennis can be a very, very good defender, and he gives you some versatility off the bench. Scott also gives you that toughness off the bench. So I think right now, Keith, that those two, whether it's 6'7" or 7'6", I think they're the top two guys coming off the bench.
I would agree. The thing about Mike Scott, like you said, he brings the toughness. The thing about James Ennis, you know, I was really impressed with him in the postseason. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, there was a time where, you know, early on, I mean, he did get injured, this and that, and you thought that when he came back from the injury, he would take a step back. But he was making huge shots. You know, the thing with him has always been his confidence. And I think that, you know, here he gained his confidence and he became a reliable guy. He thrived in his role. And not to mention, this is a guy who took less money to come back here and play. So that says a lot. He's confident. I mean, just by his statement saying that, you know, what they're going to do, we're going to walk to the finals. That's saying that. And you know, I know he got criticized for that, but because he's not the superstar, they say. But to me, for him to come out and say that says a lot. Like, he's confident with the Sixers, you know. Mike Scott, I think, you know, Mike Scott, heck, I went to my daughter's summer camp. And the guy who runs it, John, Mr. John, he has a Mike Scott tattoo. And I was like, is that thing real? And he's like, yeah. I'm like, dude, you know what I mean? Like a grown man with a tattoo, 39. But at the same time, you know, that just tells you how much people love Mike Scott. You know, he brings the toughness. Like, Mike Scott is going to be always beloved in Philly just because of the grit that he has. You can make a case that as much as Tobias and all these guys are the starters and they love them, Mike Scott has more fans than the rest of them. You know what I mean? Because of the grit. So you look at both of them. You know, here's a guy that I really want to see. You know, you look at Kyle Quinn, and some people say that, you know, he's just going to be here, you know, end of the bench guy because of what he did at Indiana. But when he was in New York and when he was in Orlando, he came in and was a gritty guy and did stuff and like, you know, provided toughness. I think that we'll see that Kyle Quinn.
I do too, and not only that, Keith, I firmly believe that Joel Embiid is not going to play as many games this year due to load management. And when that happens, Kyle O'Quinn's going to be, you know, penciled in maybe for 25 minutes.
Yeah.
So I think Kyle O'Quinn may have a bigger role than people think. I think what's going to be interesting is who are going to be the other guys coming off. And I think that's what training camp is going to tell us. I think Zaire Smith, the team certainly likes him a lot. I think that Smith and Matisse Thybulle are, I don't want to say the same player, but they're pretty similar. And I've said this before to you, I'm not sure if both of them get a lot of minutes, but maybe one of them does. So I think that dynamic's going to work as well. But one thing we'll see of these guys is I think they've got a pretty good defensive team. I want to see what they're going to get offensively off the bench.
Yeah. But and that's why I know you said they're better right now. And I just want to see, like, you know, going back to the first thing we talked about, I know they're different, but I just want to see who is going to, like, offensively, who's going to step up, who's going to be the designated shooter, you know, per se, and who's going to be the closer. You know, and once we figure that out, everything is good. Now, we know, like you said, Embiid's probably going to miss a lot of games. He's going to follow the Kawhi Leonard protocol formula. And then, you know, so Al Horford will be the starter center. And I also believe that, you know, let's face it, we're bringing up this bench and certain guys who are going to stand out. But at the same time, it's going to be like last year where they're going to stagger people. So they're going to start, the starting five is going to start, but then next thing you know, two of them are going to go on the bench, the other one's going to come in, and then when they come out, the other two starters are going to come back with some subs. So that's what we're going to see, but it's going to be an interesting year, Mark. It really is, and I'm looking forward to it because there's a lot of answers that need to be, questions that need to be answered.
There's no question, but Keith, you'll have to admit, and you've been doing this team for a while now, there's probably going to be more excitement coming in this year. No LeBron in the East, no Kawhi in the East. The East is there for the taking this year for the Sixers. That's not to say Milwaukee won't be a formidable team. I'm not counting out Boston. I think Indiana's going to be a pretty solid team, but it's there for the Sixers of the taking.
Yep. Just got to find out who's the closer. All right. Thanks for joining. I want to thank you all for listening, and have a great day. Peace. Have a great weekend, too.